We got Craig Conroy coming up here in a moment. Craig worked with Brad Tree Living for a long time.
Yeah,
right?
nine years, I think.
9 years, so
AGM
he can
there.
Probably
like,
speak to that. And, you know, as for the Leafs and their GM pursuit,
well, and,
it's tough
and,
to say when it's going to be concluded. But
no, but you can give a view on the league as well, too. Here's a guy who's taking over. You know, if, I don't know if you watched his presser or saw some snippets of it the other day talking about, you know, the philosophy he'd like. You know, some of the lessons he learned from Johnny Gaudreau leaving. You know, he was quite honest about stuff like that. So, you know, they missed the playoffs last year, but they've got the framework of a really good team there. So, you know, Craig is he's going to put his positive spin on it and get to work. He's a hardworking guy, so see what he's got up his sleeve.
Yes, absolutely. And here he is, the new GM of the Calgary Flames, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Here's Craig Conroy. How you doing, Craig?
Good, guys. How are you guys doing?
Doing very well. Yeah, this congratulations. Obviously, this is something you've been pursuing for a while. I'm curious, though, when you were a player, were you envisioning management? Like, how far back does it go where you thought, I could be a GM in this league?
You know, it was weird. Even when I was thinking back after the last 12 years, it really, even when I retired, like I said in my press, I thought maybe I'd do media, maybe I would do, you know, coaching. And then, you know, Ken King kind of sat down and said, hey, maybe you should try the management thing. And then I started working around and doing, he let me do pretty much everything. And I'm like, hey, this is pretty fun. You know, it's kind of like fantasy baseball, but with real people. So that's kind of the way it started for me, I think.
Well, Connie, I always thought you were going to be a coach based on the little group you guys had in the corner. It was yourself and Aginla and Alex Tanguay. You guys seemed to run the dressing room anyways, so from a coaching perspective, some of the plays you wanted to implement. So I'm surprised that you ended up in the management side as well as the coaching.
Well, you know what? I mean, and it would have, I think it would, the 1 year I went down with Bob and was down coaching, it really did make you think, maybe coaching is the way to go. But again, I'd moved my family so many times, getting traded back and forth. You know, I think the one thing I knew, there'd be a little bit more stability on this side, at least to let them get through school. So I think that's why I did it. But the coaching side I love. I love going to sit down there watching, you know, when they're drawing up plays and they're doing stuff. And, you know, I'll stay out of there, but definitely enjoy being down in the room for sure.
Connie, in your presser, you brought up some of the things that typically happen when a new general manager is signed with a team, talking about the environment, guys having fun, you got to enjoy coming to work. But when you get right down to the heart of it, next year mm-hmm. you need some of your best players to play way better than they did. How do you approach that?
Well, I think even when we're doing the coaching search, maybe the frustration for me last year just watching at times when we had so many one-goal games, and you just want your top guys to be out there at the end of the game, maybe every other shift. You know how it is, Jeff. Like, you want those guys, they want to make a difference, but if they're not on the ice, they can't do it. And I thought some nights I'm like, oh, they've only played 13 minutes. You know, they've only, you know, Huberto, Kadri, 12, 13 minutes. It's just, you know, instead of kind of riding your horses, we kind of just went with a four line, going out there. And I know that's what Darryl felt comfortable with, and he's the coach, and that's what he did. And the games were always close, but I think we gotta really challenge our top guys to be better. And when I talk to them, they want that. They want to be challenged. They want to have an opportunity to be on the ice in those key situations. And there's nobody harder on themselves as Markey. So, you know, Markstrom's, I expect you're going to see a huge bounce back from him. You know, he's just laser focused when he left. And, you know, that's a good thing for us to see, even though he knows it was a down season. You know, he goes from a Vezina finalist, you know, and it just was an off year right from the beginning. So he's a proud guy, and I expect him to be back to normal next year.
Connie, when you take over the reins, is it, you know, touch base with your leadership core? Like, what is the kind of protocol? What has been your thought process early on to try and just, you know, maybe have these conversations early on with your top players, the guys that you know, want to ride into success?
Exactly. Well, I definitely reached out to all of my, either text some of them, but I try to call all of them. I've got a hold of some. I think they're playing golf. I don't know what they're doing, to be honest, Noodles. Or they're just not, they don't want to talk to me right now. But no, you know what? You got to, yeah, I wanted to reach out to all the guys, just to touch base. And then, you know, it's just been busy because we've had our amateur meetings here and settling in. And, you're doing some interviews. You got a million phone calls. I think I had 400 texts and emails in the one day. I said, oh, you know, I don't even think I feel bad. I haven't gotten back to everybody yet. But I'm going to try to catch up with that for sure in the next couple of days.
We're chatting with Craig Conroy, the new GM of the Flames, and you worked alongside Brad Treliving for a long time. And now that Tree's moved on, you're in that role. I'm curious if you feel like you have to be different than Treliving. You know, what kind of P's and Q's have you picked up that you might want to apply? You know, how do you establish yourself as the man in charge, considering you've been there for a long time? You're bumped up and you got that much more power.
You know, the one thing I think you take away from when Jay Feaster was here, Brian Burke, and then and Tree, you know, Tree really had a great feel of what was going on around the league. He was always on his phone. He never felt like you missed out on a player. Hey, you're not going to get everybody, but he definitely knew what was going on, what the prices were for players, you know, and he was... It was almost like I see why, because I've gotten so many phone calls. But, you know, I think the pulse that he has around the league was excellent. You know, the way he treated his staff here was, you know, we were just like one big family. He treated us with respect and, you know, he let us be a part of everything. In the end, he's going to make some of those final decisions. And I'm assuming at some point I'm going to have to make those too. I haven't made any yet. But, you know, we have the staff here. He's implemented so many good things as far as analytics and what he wanted to do, you know, and always we're trying to keep building on that, you know, and that's the thing I said even in my interview. I'd like to keep building. We've kind of stayed maybe status quo for a little bit. Is there more we can do in some of these areas, you know, and obviously with the staff we have here, I think that's possible. But you know what? Tree was a great boss, and I learned a lot. I don't know if I'm going to be able to talk to as many people as he does, but, you know, I thought that was a huge positive for him.
Well, you spoke in your presser about, you know, you want players that want to be there, and you want to establish that. And I'm curious how you go about, you know, determining that. If you get to free agency and a player, you know, is willing to come up there, how do you separate, okay, he wants to be there because of the contract that's available to him, which clearly we all know is a big part of this. It is a business. But beyond that, you know, he's up there for the reasons you want him to be up there. Like, how do you go about that filtering of, you know, knowing exactly what you're getting and why they're accepting, you know, a job up in Calgary?
It's funny because, you know, when you're just in the and around guys and you're talking to people, like, some people will just say, hey, you guys, you know, other players will talk and they'll say, these guys love it up in Calgary. They would love, they're fishermen. They love hiking. They love the outdoors, you know, and they're really good players. And you're like, oh, that's put that in my memory bank, you know, and that's just from conversations with guys. So, you know, sometimes that when you talk to them the first time, if you have to beg them to come, I think that's a problem. You know, if you just have to keep overpaying, you know, is he really here for the money, or does he really want to come and be a part of the Calgary Flames? So it is a fine line. It's not going to be easy, but I think, you know, you really get a sense right away when, you know, agents are pretty honest at times. They just, hey, my guy doesn't want to come. You will not come there. You know, okay, perfect. I do have some guys that want to come, and they'll give you names of people, and, you know, you just work through the process like that as you move along. But, you know, it's a learning curve, but you hope people are honest with you, and, you know, you have to kind of read through some of the, you know, the tea leaves there a little bit. But in the end, you got to feel what's right in your heart. If you feel like this guy really does want to be here, you know, it's like Blake Coleman, when he came, he wanted to come here, you know. It's like, oh, and he's still coming back. He went home to Dallas and he's going to come back for a little bit. And you're like, oh, he really does want to be in Calgary, which is great for us. You know, you sign a free agent and he wants to be here.
Connie, have you noticed a difference in the last, we'll call it 5 years or maybe even a little bit longer, in the shift of the way that the game is played and the philosophy? And everyone's got their own thought process of how you win in the regular season and now how it's being played out in the playoffs. Do you have in mind a way that you want your roster to be shaped and really the way that you want to play as far as what Calgary Flames hockey would be moving forward?
You know, I think everybody wants an exciting offensive team that is sound defensively, which is, it's easier said than done, but you want to make it exciting. I mean, it is a, you know, it's for entertainment. You want people, especially our forwards and, you know, across the league, you want them to come out and do what they do best, and that's people bring people out of their seats, you know, because they're making special plays. Because you watch in practice, they always do. You know, you want them to bring that kind of attitude into the rink during the game. And you know what I always said, if you make a mistake, we'll just back check. You know, you just work hard coming back. I mean, you can't do it four or five times in a row, but every now and then to try to do something special, creative, you know, do something outside the box. I think it's great for the game. I mean, you see the plays that are made around the league. If that ever happened when we played, though, there would have been 20 fights, so just nobody would try it. You know, you're like, okay, we got to draw the line somewhere. But I think, you know, overall we want to be sound structurally defensively. We want to make sure Markstrom's, you know, we're going to give up shots, but we don't want to give those all those cross seam passes, one-timers, breakaways, two-on-ones. I mean, I felt bad for Markey. Usually the first shot of the game, I know everyone talks about a lot, went in. Well, they were breakaways, two-on-ones, or high-danger shots right off the bat. He didn't even get into the game. So we got to limit that a little bit more, too, you know, just to make it easier on him.
Well, it's going to be a wild off season, and obviously you've mentioned, you know, you guys are looking for a coach as well. Is that, you know, the top of the list in terms of priority before the draft and free agency? You know, what's the timeline like that for that role and in terms of your priority list right now, Craig?
You know, it's pretty high. I mean, it's right there at the top. We've been, you know, you reach out, get permission from teams, and we're just doing that now. So hopefully, that process will start next week, you know, where we'll start to interview some coaches and move forward. And I don't know, you know, I'm not going to rush it where I say, oh, it has to be done at the end of next week. But, you know, as we go through and talk to people and see, you know, who we think is a fit here. And, you know, we're going to do that as a group. The whole staff is going to be together and we're going to go through. And, you know, the one thing I think when you talk to people around the league, there's a lot of good coaches and a lot of young coaches. And I know, even though I'm a young GM, I've got Don Maloney, Dave Nonis here, who've been GM in the league. So I'm not worried about having a young coach, you know, just because it's a first-time GM. I just want to get the right person for the job and grow with that person. You know, I want to be a team. I don't want to be his boss. I just want to be part of, you know, we're all a team here, from the players, coaches, and management. We're trying to do one thing, and that's win.
How many guys do you think you'd interview, Craig? Like, does it make any sense to just say, anybody, give me a call, and you like, you probably got an idea who you want to talk to. Do you just tighten that up and get on with it?
Yeah, you know, you came up with your first list. It might have been a little long, and then you cut it down. Like, who do we really fit that criteria, what we're looking for? And then we'll reach out to them. And, you know, you might do, it might be 8, it might be 12 or 15, you know, depending upon when we finally settle on a number. And we have to get permission from their teams and if they want to do it. I mean, that's the other thing. I think, you know, with all the jobs out there right now, you know, there's going to be a lot of options for the guys that are probably interviewing. We're probably going to interview some of the same people as other teams.
Well, there's a lot of jackasses on Twitter that think they're coaches, so just stay out of that.
Yeah, close your DMs. I'll send you a DM. I'll come out there and interview. I'm one of those jackasses Noodles is talking about.
Noodles will be the goalie coach. Oh, Hayes will run the power play, and I'll be the head boss.
Oh,
there
yeah.
You go, Craig.
Perfect. Old dog's the head boss, for sure.
It's an option. Just floating it out there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sleep
exactly.
on it. Let us know how you feel.
Yeah, it would be a absolutely. Fun group to be with.
Yeah, yeah, package deal. I'm sure you want to tie your career to the three of us. That would go over really well. He is Craig Conroy, the new GM of the Calgary Flames. Great catching up with you, Craig. Congrats on the gig. Good luck with it moving forward. Thank you for this.
Thanks for having me on, guys. You guys take care.
You got That's it. Fine. Craig Conroy joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Build your next dream Toyota at Maple Toyota. So, yeah, there you go.
He's a high energy guy.
Conroy.
You know, he's going to be a good manager because he really cares. Like, not that all the other managers don't, but you can tell he's a passionate guy. And I think he's got the right philosophy is, hey, we're all in this together. Like, it's not the hero complex. It's, I'm the guy and everyone else has to kind of, you know, listen to what I say. I think he's a real progressive guy and I think he'll be a nice fit there. So, you know,
and he knows the place well, right? And they know him. He was a really good Flame, as you know, and he's worked within the organization for a long time. It seems like a natural progression that now he takes over. And I think if you're a Leaf fan, you're listening to that and what he had to say about Brad Treliving. And, you know, there's this sense, and I understand it, you know, that Dubas, because Dubas seems like a very likable guy, as much as, like, I don't know him personally. We've interacted with him a lot. Easy guy to like. And by all accounts, treats people really well, which should be mandatory, right?
Standard.
Managing people should be. But by all accounts, you know, he was really true to that. And there's, you know, a concern, people are going to be upset, or people, you just heard what he said about Treliving. Treats, the next guy can treat everyone really well as well, right? It's not like it's going to all
like
of a
the
sudden
only
be
guy.
A horrible working environment and so toxic because Kyle isn't around. I mean,
no, but that's just, I think that's people that are sad that they were fans and they thought he did a good job and they were sad. You can be disappointed in the way that it went down, but ultimately life will go on. And I agree, if it's Brad Treliving or somebody else that ends up here in Toronto, I'm sure there'll be a good GM as well. But Craig Conroy's got lots of work ahead of him. So does Brad Treliving or whoever takes over in
Absolutely.
Toronto.
Whoever's like, the so new GM in Toronto.